if you will turn. If you didn't bring your Bible, you maybe ought to, because, you know, there might be somebody who will tell you wrong. Isn't that right? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We have been learning this week how to fight the good fight of faith through prayer. And we have likened the Lord's Prayer, which has been our model, as a jogging track or a prayer track that we go around. Oh, you know why our war with Satan's called a good fight? You know why that's called a good fight? Because we're going to win. Wouldn't be no good fight if we wasn't going to win, would it? Wouldn't be worth talking about. But we're on the winning side. We're following after Jesus. He's our captain, and we're going to win. Hallelujah. And we're going to, tonight, right down to almost the last, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we've memorized this prayer. We've sung it. We've quoted it. Almost everyone in here has heard it about all your life. But God is giving us a depth in his model prayer this week. We don't want to be led into temptation, do we?
No.
You know, most of us, it's trial and error. Temptation and resistance. Temptation and resistance. God help me that I can learn an easier way. Most of the time it's, get out of here. Get back. Get back. Get back. God help us that we can learn the easier way. Lord, send somebody by to tell me a little better way. Lord, show me in your word a better way to do than to be forever having to learn the hard way. Somebody said, I have to learn the hard way. Well, honey, I don't like to learn the hard way. I want to learn, but I don't want to learn the hard way. And there are other ways, you know. You see, James 1 and 13 says, God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no man. But Jesus teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation. Does the Bible contradict itself? No. Who is the tempter to whom Christ refers here? Satan is the tempter, according to Matthew 4 and 3. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 5. The scriptures warn of temptations which come from the devil in Matthew 4 and 1, 1 Corinthians 7 and 5, 1 Thessalonians 3 and 5. Some trials are explicitly designed to lead to wrongdoing. Paul reveals that even strong Christians may be vulnerable to temptation. Now, the origins of our temptations, and by the way, a temptation is something that leads us away or woos us away from the Lord and his church and the way we know is right. Anything that comes between you and God is a temptation to leave God and to stay away. Some temptations or trials arise from within ourselves, amen? All right. From uncontrolled appetites and evil passions. You look at Mark 7, 20 and 22. You see, this is not my opinion. This is Bible. Every bit of it comes from the Word. And if it comes from the Word, is it right? If we don't like it, is it still right? If we can't stand it, is it still right? If folks criticize me for it, is it still right?
Yeah.
All right. This is where this comes from. Right out of the Word of God. Oh, Mark 7, 20 and 22 gives us here, says our temptations may vary. and says that it comes from within. Although temptation from within does not proceed from God. A young man called me this week and said, my wife has told me she wants a divorce, and I just have been saved 2 weeks, and God must not be pleased with that. I said, son, God's not causing a divorce, because his will is not separation. His will is reconciliation.
Yes, amen.
Oh, God, he gets blamed for a lot of stuff. Gets blamed for a lot of stuff. Now, Peter tells us that Christ left us an example that we should follow in his steps. 1 Peter 2 and 21. We don't need to be afraid to walk in his steps. We don't need to be afraid of what we will run up against, because we are walking in his steps and obeying him. Now, what's the use of having temptation? Why would God allow temptation to come our way? Well, some of them reveal our old hateful human nature and show us our helplessness and dependence on God. Did you know you're absolutely helpless to help yourself? We must depend on God. We're as helpless as the smallest baby, the smallest one, but God is faithful. He will. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Look in Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee.
Amen.
And suffered thee to hunger. You mean to let us go hungry? Sometimes we won't listen to anything else than our stomach. They suffered thee to hunger, then fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. Hallelujah. There's other tests and other trials that teach us how to do a spiritual warfare. You are in a war whether anyone believes it or not. And Brother Winston can tell you something about war. There's casualties, and there's a lot of noise, isn't there? A lot of racket, and somebody falls, somebody's wounded, somebody's killed, and here it goes, and we're going to fight this good fight of faith. Now, in Judges 3, 1 and 2, God told the children of Israel, now these are the nations which the Lord left. Left them to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel had not known all the wars of Canaan. See, a new generation grew up, didn't know anything about it. Only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least, such as before knew nothing of. Now, we experienced some delays, some trials, in order that we might be increased or developed enough to prepare us for God's perfect will. So many times we say, Lord, I want to be in your perfect will. And it might cost you more than you're willing to pay to be in the perfect will of God.
Amen.
To be in the perfect will of God, you might be standing in the middle of Africa.
Come on.
Yeah. I'm not going any further with that, because that's another River Corn show. All right. And the Lord said to them, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. Sometimes you can't be delivered instantaneously, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. He said, by little and by little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. Woo! A good example of this is Joseph. Oh, he was a great man.
Oh, yes.
But he had to go through many things before he could come to the place where he would be able to carry on the work of Egypt, to carry on, be second in command there. Oh, if you will look in Psalm 105, 16 through 24, you will see something about what that young man suffered. Somebody said, I'm ready to go. God called me to preach and I'm going. Had a young preacher in my church come to me one day and said, Sister Carter, I've got to leave. I said, why? What's happened? He said, well, the Lord called me and I've got to go out. I said, well, might it be a good idea to find out before you start? Children, we need to use a little bit of common sense. Sure, God had called him to preach. Sure, God had told him to go out. But he needed to wait a little bit till he'd know which direction to go.
Amen.
That's why Abraham walked out and didn't know where he was going. But he knew which direction he was going. See, you can't gallop off in all directions. You got to aim somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, my. God called for a famine on the land of Egypt, and he broke the whole staff of bread. And he sent a man before them. He sent a man down from Israel before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. And all this he had to go through before he could become second in command.
Yeah.
Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free.
Yeah.
He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. While that boy was laying there with that iron on his hands and his feet, he learned a little wisdom. He got stopped long enough to know that although he was the favorite son of his father, he was not almighty. He also had to depend on God. His dad made him a coat of many colors, but oh, that coat wouldn't cover everything that he needed.
Yeah.
Now there are trials that purify us and test our faith. An example is the narration in Genesis chapter 22. Describing God's command that Isaac be sacrificed, and Abraham's ensuing reactions. He told Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. Give him to me. And Abraham was real old when Isaac was born. Oh! But he obeyed God. And all the time, Abraham was going up this side of the mountain with that boy to sacrifice.
Yeah.
Jehovah Uri was preparing a ram and sending him up on the other side of that rock. I tell you, that rock is as big as this church. It is. And it's a white color. And you can see the altar at the top of it. All carved steel. It's worn down, but you can still see the altar where Isaac was bound and laid there. My, it thrilled your soul if you ever get an opportunity to go look at it. You see, God knows every trial. He wants to know and wants us to know if we are going to serve Him or someone else.
Amen. Yeah.
Allow trials in our lives. James and Peter give some good instruction on this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, James said. Did he say it?
Yeah.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Right.
But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Oh, but patience is gained through tribulation. Yeah, but there's another way to gain patience than waiting for tribulation to fall on you. It's a cultivated plant, honey. Pour some fertilizer around it.
dig around it, water it, water it with your tears. Pour in some fertilization of prayer and good, holy living. And see if you don't cultivate some patience there and you don't have to have your head caved in or your nose skinned in order to let patience have her perfect work. Oh, praise the Lord. And then Peter chimes in 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 And there are trials and there are tests that bring God great glory. Allows Him to gain great victories over Satan. If I can go through a trial and allow my Lord glory, I'll grit my teeth and go. Won't you? Yes, I will. There Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You mean the Holy Ghost does stuff like that? Jesus was led. I didn't say it.
Come on.
It wasn't to be.
Glory
to God. Matthew 4 and 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But oh, thank God he didn't have to stay there.
Right.
After he came through that temptation victoriously, he could come down from there. And he came down in the power and the might and the strength of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Then there was Moses, who had many trials that gave God glory. Oh yes. Pharaoh had already let him go, but the Lord said, he's going to follow after you. But you be still. Just stand still and see your salvation. Oh, glory to God. Because I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, because I am going to gain glory on him through this day. And I'm going to prove to the Egyptians that I am the Lord. You found that in Exodus 14, 1 through 4. Remember, only these tests leading to our enlargement and enrichment shall be divinely permitted.
Praise God.
There are other tests. But there are some that God divinely permits to prove us. Oh my. Look in 2 Peter 2 and 9. He assures us of victory with these words. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation.
Yes,
woo! Praise the Lord. And he gives us victory. James offers some more words of encouragement. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Hallelujah.
Oh. James 1 and 12, he says, when. He doesn't say if, he says when he is tried. So we know we're going to be tried, don't we? Oh, and but he assures us there will be blessings when it is endured. There are some things in this world that must be endured. If it were absolutely perfect, we wouldn't want to go to heaven. Brother Randy wouldn't be running around here shouting about when the laws of gravity fail and his feet would leave the ground. Would be satisfied to stay in this present world. Would you? Everybody's mighty quiet tonight. He threw the ice water on me.
Amen.
Oh. Endurance is continuing to believe and continuing to worship in the face of criticism and persecution. You keep right on believing. Keep right on singing. Keep right on preaching. Keep right on testifying.
Yeah.
What difference does somebody's opinion make? What difference difference does it make if somebody doesn't like what you're saying? God likes it, and He's the one we want to please. Amen. Oh, that was the Canaanite woman who came to Jesus wanting a devil cast out of her little girl. And Jesus answered her not a word. It's keeping on when the heavens are turned to brass and we don't seem to be able to get a prayer from God. That woman didn't stop because He did not answer her. He answered her never a word.
Never a word.
Never a word. Oh, she would not be denied. But she kept holding on. You'll find this in Matthew 15. Then she fell down at His feet. Said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You see, her situation was desperate. And so was she. She knew that this was the only place she could get deliverance for her little girl. This was the only one. She had given up hope. No doubt she had watched that child suffer hour after hour. No doubt she had sat by his bedside and been there when the devil tore that child and thrashed about. Oh, my God. And here Jesus came to the coast of Sidon and of Tyre and was preaching deliverance. Ooh, He was preaching deliverance. He was preaching deliverance. And she came and said, you are my only hope. And she knew, and she would not be denied. She kept on and on and on until finally Jesus said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt.
Amen.
And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Is He still the same?
Yes.
Hebrews says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. We can still enjoy these blessings. Now, sometimes God chooses to love us in silence. I've never been able to understand all this, but I think He does it so that we can be perfected in the faith and to prove our tenacity. Now, tenacity means the ability to hold on.
Yeah.
Like a bulldog. Clamp on and hold on.
Yeah.
And if you don't hear from God today, hold on.
Yeah.
There's another day coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hold on. It's not too long now till He'll come and rapture away the saints of God. Be tenacious. Don't give up. Don't faint.
Yeah.
Be tenacious. Hold on to God. You see, be like the Hebrew children in the fire furnace. They wouldn't bow down to that idol of God. And the king said, you better. I'm going to throw you in the oven if you don't. They said, O king, live forever. We're not going to bow down to that idol.
Come on.
Our God, we serve, can deliver us. This day, but if not, if not, we still not going to bow down to that idol God. If He doesn't see fit to deliver us, we're not going to bow down to the idol. We're going to keep right on serving Him. And if He doesn't see fit to deliver us, He could if He wanted to. Struck some fire there, got a little work from somewhere. All right. How would you like to be a buddy if not Christian? Let's just be. I know that my God can deliver me today, but if He does not see fit to deliver me, but if not, I'm going to keep right on serving Him. Oh, if He doesn't heal my body, I'm going to keep right on serving Him. If He never gives me any success whatsoever, I'm going to keep on serving Him. He could do it. If it were according to his will, praise the Lord. Can you give him a praise? Come on, unfold your arms and start worshiping a little bit here, church. Let the Lord know you're alive. Glory to God. Now, there's reasons for Jesus' warning when he told us to, when he said, lead us not into temptation, when he put that for us. He was instructing believers to pray that forces beyond their own control would not lead them into trials. See Matthew 24:20. Revelation 3:10. He's also commanding believers to watch and pray against entering into temptation through their own carelessness or disobedience.
Yes.
Oh my. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And take heed to yourselves. Luke 21:34-36. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares.
Hallelujah.
For as a snare it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. You and I know it's coming. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You see, he told his disciples to watch and pray. Before that night was over, they slept instead. And by and large, this is a picture of the church as a whole. Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession and praying still.
Yes, right.
And the majority of the church is sleeping away.
Yes, right.
Just sleeping. But he said, watch! Pray, oh God. Now, I know we have to have rest and sleep. Let's set your alarm clock a little earlier. You'll find time to be with God. It will be there. Oh, stay up a little later. Why, no sacrifice is too great, is it? Escape hell and to be able to call on God. Jesus himself prays that, Abba, Father, all things are possible with thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Oh, and that very night, tragic events transpired in the lives of those who were sleeping. And this very night, it may be before you lay down on your bed tonight, something tragic might come your way. We can't see the future, can we? Jesus warned us to pray. He warned them to pray. See, Peter had just cut off the ear of the servant, and the Lord had to rebuke him for that. And then he ran when Jesus was arrested. And he followed afar off while Jesus was taken to the palace of the high priest. Amen? And before that black night was over, he had denied that he knew Christ. He had denied him and said, I am not. But Jesus had warned him and said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Church, I say to you tonight, Satan desires your soul, that he might sift you as wheat.
Oh, my.
Therefore, he lovingly commands us to pray, lead me not into temptation. And in 1 Corinthians 11:31-32, we have some more instruction here. You see, we don't have to learn the hard way through personal experience if we'll take what somebody else has lived through. Yeah? And he, Paul, said that everything that happened to the children of Israel were examples for those upon whom the ends of the world have fallen. And who is it but us upon whom the ends of the world have fallen? Thank you, brother. God would be pleased for us to learn many things in the Word and on our knees through His gentle, friendly instruction. Oh, and the Holy Spirit rather than by harsh discipline.
Come on. Come on, amen.
Oh, some of you have had rebellious children because they didn't understand any other way except that harsh disciplinary action.
Yeah.
Amen? But we don't have to do it that way.
Oh, no.
And so Paul tells us, judge yourselves. Look after yourselves. And see to it that you don't have to learn the hard way. We want to walk in the law of the Lord, don't we? Now, David was a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
According to the scriptures. And he did many things that were wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And but every time, I wondered many times, Lord, why was he a man after your own heart? All these sinful things he did. Every time he confessed and ask forgiveness. He was truly repentant. And God loves somebody that will be truly repentant over their mistakes. Let's take a moment and look into some of his petitions that he made to God. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O God. And again, Psalm 119, 31, 32, I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Again, Psalm 119, 35 and 40, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear.
Yeah.
Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for the judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Then again, order my steps in thy words. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me.
Praise God.
Deliver me from the oppression of man. So will I keep thy precepts.
Yeah.
Many times we've had to pray. I know Brother and Sister Phillips have had to pray this. Keep me from turned around.
Yeah.
Just seemed like it just wouldn't do at all. You see, Satan doesn't want you to hear this. He doesn't want me to tell you this. He wants me to sit down and shut up, and wouldn't he be tickled if I sat down and shut my big fat mouth?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and I don't want to tickle him. I'm going to aggravate him. I'm going to burn blisters on his old hide every chance I get. Hallelujah. Then we pray, Lord, deliver us from evil. How do we prepare ourselves to stand in the victory Jesus has won for us? Now, we know the victory is there, but somehow we don't always experience that victory. But we do it by putting on the whole armor of God. Amen? Yeah. Now, before the armor of God can be useful, We must know what the armor is, what purpose the armor serves, and how to put the armor on.
Amen.
Let's look and see what it is. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17 is the application of Jesus in our daily lives. Paul tells us to put on the armor of light and commands, but put ye on Jesus Christ.
Right.
So the armor then is Jesus Christ. Amen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's how it works. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Come on.
But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Right.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Yeah.
Woo! I love the Word, don't you? Now, that armor he's talking about is really Jesus Christ. He wants to be our defense and to clothe us with Himself. Then let's look, what does that armor do? Now, Paul was well acquainted with the armor of a Roman soldier, and he talked about that.
Yeah.
But you know, times have changed.
Amen.
And I like armor that's a little more modern, you know, because the evil spirits are waxing worse and worse.
Yeah,
they are. And we need something. Now, Ephesians 6 and 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor. And went on to define that armor piece by piece. We just read it. And then he said, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Your loins are that part of the body between, below your rib cage down to your hip bone. In that portion of your body, it's regarded as the seat of physical strength and generative power.
Yeah.
The digestive system, the reproduction organs, and our waste plant are contained here. And the psalmist said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And in the inward part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Psalm 51:6. In his covenant with Israel, God said, I will put my law in their inward parts.
Amen.
Woo! And write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. So you see, we are to be full of the Word of God. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, that's a piece of armor worn over the chest. Organs that are vital to life are in our chest. Our heart, our lungs, our esophagus that leads from our mouth to our stomach and carries the food there. Mm-hmm. And 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8 says, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. And then we're to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that preparation means readiness.
Yeah.
I'm not always ready. I get up in the mornings. Sometimes when I start my prayer hour, I don't feel much like praying. I'm not always ready, but Jesus is always ready.
Amen.
And I say, Father,
I'm your daughter. He says, yes. Begin to feel a little bit better. I say, Father, I love you today and I know you love me. He says, yes. I said, Father, you're my infiller. He says, yes. And oh, how good that feels to know that he's always there.
Amen. That's right.
We're going to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It means readiness. And the Amplified Bible does it this way. And having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. You see, if a soldier is unsteady on his feet, if you're not able to sidestep quickly or back up or go forward, you're lost right there. So we're going to shod our feet every day.
Amen.
Every day, because every day is important.
Yeah.
We're going to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Woo! In 1 Samuel 2 and 9, Hannah said, he will keep the feet of his saints.
Yeah.
All right. And he makes my feet like hinds' feet. Somebody said, how do you get along so fast and so well? Whoa! He keeps my feet like hinds' feet.
Yeah.
Able to walk up steep grades. Able to hold on to the side of the mountain.
Oh,
glory to God. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. This shield was worn on the arm of the soldier or in the hand. And he would, instead of allowing the arrows hit him, he would put his shield between him and the arrow. Now, I don't know what kind of shield of faith and what yours looks like, but mine's a great big one. It's so big I have to use both hands, because I don't want the devil shooting his arrows into my soul. It takes both hands to pick it up, and I get behind that shield of faith, and if I've got that, I can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. According to the word of God, we can do it. Oh, Proverbs 30:5 says, every word of God is pure.
Yeah.
He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him.
Yeah.
So if you think I've laid my shield of faith too big, honey, look at that.
Praise
God. That shield's not too big. Then we're to take the helmet of salvation. Now the Roman soldiers had a ruff of feathers or a brush across the top of it. You know, it just came down across their floor. But I like these helmets like the motorcycle drivers wear.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I like them. They put them on and you can't see who in the world they are. They're hid from the top of their head down to their neck. Oh, that helmet of salvation is going to cover my brain and keep my foolish mind from going off at a tangent. It's going to cover my eyes so that I don't have to look at anything except what God wants me to see. It's going to cover my ears so that I can hear only what God would have me hear. It's going to cover my mouth so that I'm not saying anything that would be displeasing to my Lord. And you know something else about my helmet? The devil can't see who I am. He can't get me because he can't see me, can he? All right. That helmet is good. Now, look, up to this point, every piece of this has been defensive. Every piece of armor. But now we've got one that's offensive. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what your sword looks like in your mind, but I visualize my sword as a light sword. Huh? You don't know what I'm talking about? You know, the light sword. that Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader battled with. My sword is a light sword, and I can shine the light of that sword on superstition and ignorance and prejudice. And on every work of the devil, and everywhere it shines, glory to God. The darkness is dispelled. Everywhere that sword goes, the darkness is dispelled, and the people are delivered.
Hallelujah.
The sword also denoted authority. So if you've got a sword, have you got one? Get a hold of it. Hold it up in your hands. Look at here. We're going to shine that into every dark corner we can find. Everywhere the light is, the darkness flees away according to the word. Oh, our sword is our power and our authority. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. We shine it one way and another way. It's two-edged. It will cut. Yes, it will. In Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Oh, bless the name of the Lord.
Glory to God.
Bless
you, hallelujah. Truth and righteousness, the hope of salvation, readiness, faith, and the Word of God must be mixed with and empowered by prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We want to keep alert and be on the lookout and watch, for we are in praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of all saints. Jesus taught us to pray, deliver us from evil.
Yes, he did.
And the writing in Ephesians instructs us to put on the whole armor of God in order we can stand against the devil, and take unto us the whole armor of God, that we might be able to withstand in the evil day.
Yeah.
Now, what is the obvious reverse of this teaching? Let's look at that for just a moment. If we put on the whole armor of God, we will win. If we do not put on the whole armor of God, we cannot stand against the wiles of the devil.
Right.
And we will not be able to withstand in the evil day.
Right.
Well, then how in the world are we going to put it on? Jesus has found in the believer, in you, in me, and everyone who believes, when we put on this whole armor, we actually implement His presence.
Hello.
2 Corinthians 1:20 describes this process. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Here's the steps. First, God gives the promise. Next, Jesus says yes, and then we say amen. All right. God gives the promise. Jesus says yes. And the church says
amen.
Ah, some of the church here tonight I hear. Praise God. All right. When we put on that first piece of armor, we gird our loins with truth. And whose truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. God gives the promise. Jesus says yes. We say amen. And then we declare with our mouth, Jesus, you are my truth.
Amen.
I praise you because I have truth reigning and ruling in my inward parts. And while you pray that way, pretty soon the Holy Spirit's going to start.
Yes.
He'll register in your spirit that you have applied Jesus as your truth. And then we apply each piece of that armor in the same way. The loins that are girt about with the truth, the girdle that's spoken of then, it was like a big wide belt that they wore about there at middle portion. And in just a little while, just a little bit now, we're going to all of us put on the whole armor, a little prayer exercise that helps us to remember, you see. And we gird our loins, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We say, Jesus, you are my righteousness. And 2 Corinthians says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Then we're going to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Jesus, you are my readiness. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Oh, the shield of faith. Jesus, you are my faith. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but yeah. Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, then we're going to put on that helmet of salvation, Jesus. You are my helmet. Hebrews 5:9. And being made perfect, he became the author. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him.
Hallelujah. That's right.
Glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. Then we take up the sword of the Spirit. Jesus, you are my sword, my living word. John 1:14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then when we've got on the whole armor, we build a hedge of protection about ourselves and about our loved ones. And how we're going to do that? Every day we're going to make our faith declaration from Psalms 91:2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. For then he will deliver from the snare of the fowler. There's three reasons or becauses in Psalm 91:9-14, why you can claim God's protection.
Hallelujah.
You see, it's all there. We just have to dig it out. Isn't that true? We just have to dig it out.
Praise
the
Lord.
That first, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, thy habitation. Oh, glory. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest. That means to sit down or to dwell with the praising, with the praises of thy people. And this is the residual song of the Holy Ghost, of the residing. So he dwells among us, enthroned on our praises. Paul said, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to God. Then Paul said, I'm going to sing with the Spirit, I'm going to sing with the understanding. We sing to God. And because he hath set his love on me, have you read Psalms 91? What does it mean to set our love on God? Look at these words of David in Psalm 27. You got your Bible? Look in Psalm 27. You're going to need this. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Glory to God. Because we've set our love on him, he will hear and he will answer. You see, we're like Martha many times. We're troubled about many things, but our God is so able to keep us all. Then the third because is because he hath known my name. Now, we have prayed, lead us not into temptation, but through this week we have recognized his name, haven't we? And we praised his name and learned how to praise him. And we're going to inspect our spirit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the Lord answers in Psalm 91 and 10, there shall no evil befall thee. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Why? Because you have set your love upon me, I will deliver you.
Yeah.
Clothed in the armor of light, the Lord Jesus Christ, and encircled by God's hedge of protection, we stand secure that God loves us. Christ has won the victory for us.
Amen.
Everybody is standing. We're going through. You see, I not only tell you, but I show you how to pray these prayers. We're going to put on the armor of light. Oh, yeah, we are. We're going to put on the whole armor here tonight. It's just a little prayer exercise that will help you to remember. We'll bring things back to your remembrance. And you're going to have to move out in the aisles so you'll have a little room. Come on. Just make no aisles. Just move out. And you don't want to hit anybody beside of you with your arms, you know. What's the matter? No, is the aisle poison or something? Come on. Get where you can, move around, church. We're going to pray this thing. We're going to say, Lord, I gird my loins about with the truth. And you pick up, your girdle, yes. And it wraps around right through here. So wrap it around. Lord, I gird myself with the truth. Oh, Lord. And then pick up your breastplate. I take up the breastplate of righteousness and I put it on. You see, it's got buckles. You run your arms through some things and it's got straps to go across your shoulder and buckles. Woo! So put it on. I'm putting on that breastplate of righteousness. And then we're going to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see, when I pray this every morning, I don't have my shoes on yet. So I shod my feet. Go on, do it. Do it. I shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm not always ready, but who knows? Jesus, you are the ever ready one. Go take up my shield of faith. Ha ha! Going to get behind it, Lord. Get it down right in front of you. I'm going to hide behind this shield of faith.